Hello, lovely listeners. On today's episode, we're optimized for Series X when we talk about Microsoft's recent game showcase. That, plus we go small. Mini, even, with the Nintendo Mini Direct. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
And I'm Rob, and Joey has the night off. So, as usual, we will jump into what we have been playing.
Oh, yay, I start again today. Yes.
That's alphabetical.
Yeah, all the time. Okay, but yeah, kind of crazy just timing for everything. A lot of games, and we've been mentioning this for the past, like, month, but Sony has been putting out so much high-quality games in between these last 2 months. So, yeah, I've been playing, what was it? Look, I even forgot what it was because they just released three blockbusters with The Last of Us Part 2, Iron Man VR, and Ghost of Tsushima. I've been playing all three religiously.
I always forget about Iron Man VR being a thing.
Yes, yeah. I've been playing all three, like, religiously, each getting their own, like, specific days, each getting their own playtime. I did beat The Last of Us Part 2, so that I did mention, but we do have a spoiler cast out for The Last of Us Part 2, which you could go ahead and find us on Spotify and iHeartRadio and the Google Play Store, everywhere pretty much. You'll be able to find that spoiler cast. But out of the Sony games, since I moved on from The Last of Us Part 2, I've been playing a lot more of Ghost of Tsushima. So that just released probably about a week and a half ago. And, you know, coming from The Last of Us Part 2, Ghost of Tsushima feels kind of unpolished, I would say. And it's not too unpolished. It's not like it's bad. It's just coming from a high-quality game like The Last of Us Part 2, then to another high-quality game of Ghost of Tsushima, there's definitely, like, a discrepancy there in terms of, like, the studios.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's Naughty Dog versus Sucker Punch, and even, like, on the PS3, like, the first two Infamous games did not really look all that fantastic. But then again, they are open-world games, so there's, like, a different...
different genre, yeah.
So. Yeah, but, and then I'll get more into my thoughts on Ghost of Tsushima, but it definitely does seem like Naughty Dog is the more... the better at balancing gameplay and everything else.
Yeah, they definitely are the, well, one of the best development studios. Definitely, Naughty Dog is up there. Now, Sucker Punch, like I said, it's Ghost of Tsushima is not that it's unpolished. It's just that comparing it to other Sony first party exclusives, especially since The Last of Us Part 2 just came out, you know. It is a little different. The game is beautiful, though. Don't get me wrong. The game looks amazing. It has a lot to do with the janky animation with Ghost of Tsushima, the way that it transitions. But it really doesn't matter the day. It really does not matter because, to me, the game is just pure fun. And I have an issue with open-world games where open-world games, there's not a lot to do, like, in the environment, and everything feels so forced. With Ghost of Tsushima, it's very different because there's no mini map. There is a map that they give you, but a lot of the actual UI stuff is done with the wind in terms of exploring the game. So the wind guides you to specific missions, which you could select on the map. If you hit options, you'll select the mission on the map, and then the wind guides you. There's no mini map there. There's no, like, small hints of, they give you, like, small hints, like, oh, here's an undiscovered location with, like, a question mark, but that's only if you go ahead and actually, like, clear it. So you
well,
have
yeah,
to go travel.
Well, that too, and they also have, like, the golden birds that will kind of, like, lead you to places like hot springs and other stuff like that. So they do have multiple ways of getting your attention, I guess, in finding new stuff.
Yeah, and I find that brilliant. The reason why I find that brilliant is because, you know, a lot of these open world games have mini maps, and they pinpoint everything for you. Now, in Ghost of Tsushima, like I mentioned, that my beef with open world games is there's not a lot of things to do in between the map. The thing about Ghost of Tsushima that I like is that since there's no mini map and it doesn't give you an indication on where those things are, you feel like you're really learning the map over time. You feel like you learn landmarks easier this way with no mini map. It makes you pay attention to those things like you mentioned, like the birds, the wind, the flowers. It gels well for this game, especially this is the first like real big game in Japan. Like Assassin's Creed should have done this years ago. So it blends well, and Sucker Punch knows how to make fun gameplay styles, and Ghost embraces everything that Sucker Punch does. Like even the animations, they're kind of similar to Sly Cooper. Like when you jump on a rope, it's like very similar as how he attaches. So it's like a callback to some stuff there, those animations. But the animations can be better, but it's very fun to play. It's a fun experience, and I'm excited to see more. I haven't beat it yet. I passed Act 1. And also the samurai duels, like the straight up one-on-ones. That is so awesome. The just the creativity around some of those fights. In particular, this might spoil it for some of you, but there's a fight where there's just a lot of crows going around you during one of those one-on-one fights. And these are like mystic quests, so these have their own like sub stories and stories of legends that villagers heard in town, and I find those very, very interesting. I think that's one of the best parts of the game. It's actually better than the actual story to me, the main story. So I love finding those. I love like the artistry in those duels. Like I mentioned, there's one where there's just like a flock of crows just like circling around you while you're doing this one-on-one duel while there's lightning coming down on the floor, and it looks phenomenal. That's why I say it's very hit and miss with Ghost of Tsushima. It's very hit and miss sometimes. It's not too much miss. Okay, that's what I want to say. It's not too much miss. Because when comparing it to The Last of Us Part 2, there are some things, and that goes to the animation on that part. But it's well done with the presentation and the music. The music also, I think, is better than a majority of Sony's first party. They got the music right, very memorable. Now, besides Ghost of Tsushima, I actually been playing something else that we actually got a preview code of, or early access, and it was a Rogue Company for the Switch, and That's a pretty interesting game, and that's actually something that showed up on the Nintendo Mini Direct, Rogue Company. So, right after that Mini Direct happened, the game actually released for early access, and we were able to get a preview, a early access build from Hi-Rez Studios. So, with Rogue Company, we actually streamed this last week, and Rogue Company, the third person hero shooter, if that's what we're gonna call it, but there's no battle royal. It's literally just respawn and demolition. So those are the two main modes, which is pretty interesting that they're releasing a game without battle royal in this time period, and it's coming out free to play soon. So it's pretty interesting. I thought it was solid. And I actually want to see more, to see how it builds, to see, what else they add. Again, it's an early access, but the gunplay was solid, and the 4-on-4 actually, I like smaller games like that, comparing them to Battle Royale. Now for the Switch version, now it looks great for handheld. So this is a good title to show off, like, in handheld, because it looks very, very good, for handheld. So that I can't knock it for. But that's like all the things I've been playing. Again, Sony's been hitting it out the park with these, with the last gen, you know, PS4 before we get the PS5. They've been hitting it out the park, and a lot of like other side games like Rogue Company. So yeah, that's all I've been doing, Rob. What have you been playing?
I too have been playing Ghost of Tsushima, but I'll get into my impressions on that one in a little bit. But first, I've finally got a copy of Ring Fit Adventure, because it came out, what, last October, November?
Yeah. And
I remember not wanting to get it, because it's like, I don't really have the room, and at the time I was working a job where I was very active, so I was like, it's not really necessary. And then the pandemic hit, and then everyone went out looking for it, and then it became, like, super rare, super hard to find for months.
Yeah, it was like $300 bucks, $300 to $500
yeah.
bucks.
And for like about a week before I eventually got it, like I'd seen it, like, oh, it's available on Amazon, and as soon as I'd click on it, it would be sold out, and the Amazon listing would be sold out, but there'd be third parties selling it for like $150, and then eventually, like, I was able to get it at MSRP, and I've only really had it for about a week, and I've been pretty consistent in terms of how often I've been using it. So far, it's been like every other day, with the exception of this past Friday and Saturday. I did it back to back, but I've been consistent about it. Like, the first time I tried it, I felt like death.
Yeah, that's the first thing, like, when I tried it too, because I ended up getting it when, I actually got it as a Christmas gift, and yeah, like, I tried it for about, what was it, like a week, I think, and same thing, like, I felt like that almost all the time. That's how you could tell we're not physically active with these games, but this is good.
Yeah, because it's like, oh man, I don't know, because like, I am not a very athletic or fit person. Like, I remember in college, I had a physical education class where it was like health / PE. And I remember we had to do like laps, and I felt like I was going to pass out. Like, I was going to throw up. I felt like sick. Cause I am not like, I don't have the lung capacity. I am not physically capable of like doing like very high intensity, like cardio stuff. But like after that first day, I've been able to, like, I guess, like I don't hurt as much as that day. And I have noticed, like, just after a few minutes, like, I'm sweating already. And it's just, it feels good, like, after you do it. And like, I haven't done it usually right now. Like, my workout regime is kind of just like maybe 15, 20 minutes. I really just do it until I just can't do it anymore. I kind of push myself a little bit, or I end when I finish a level, but it feels good to do. And I mean, obviously, I haven't really noticed too much in terms of, because I've been doing data entry, and so I have gotten a gut. And like, I haven't like really changed my dietary plan or dietary stuff yet, but I have been cutting back on sodas. I mean, if I want a soda, I'll get like a Coke Zero, because it's got, like, you know, zero calories and zero sugar. So it's not the best, but it's still kind of like, it gets that, I need a soda. I need something kind of like a little bit sweet and a little bit fizzy.
Like, don't you think that's brilliant, though, like, with Ring Fit, that it gets you talking about those things? I feel like that's a brilliant, and that's what makes Ring Fit work, like, in that way. It makes you think about those things.
Not really, because it's like one of those things where if you're interested in like losing weight, you'll kind of start looking at ways. But what I find interesting is the, because obviously like there's an adventure mode, and the way that they're able to put in like the exercises in a way that it seems like it's kind of, I guess, formatted in a certain way. It's like, okay, you drag in place for so long, and then you do, like, you can kind of choose your own, like, exercises, I guess, to defeat enemies, and, like, you can kind of, like, customize it a little bit, but it's still kind of like, you know, jog, and then do these exercises, and then jog, and then, you know, more exercises, and some other stuff kind of in between, and it's just the fact that it was all, like, put together so well, and still having that veneer of, this is a video game. It's been, like, really, really interesting to see, I guess. And it does, like I said, it does seem, like, very, it seems effective. But it's one of those things where it's, like, it's only effective if, you know, you keep up with it. And you kind of change your lifestyle in addition. Because it's not going to help if you fucking do that and then eat, like, a whole pizza.
Well, the thing is, it's, but if you play like 3 hours of it and you're like enjoying it, then yeah, like that's the thing about, these games that like, you know, they mask that sort of exercising element to it. Like, you know, they trick your brain. Ring Fit is definitely one of those, like Beat Saber could be used as a fitness game. So those sort of games, like, if you're playing 3 or 4 hours of it, then, you know, that's a lot of, like, working out. Like, when you put all those pieces together, that's a lot of working out. Obviously, you know, you don't want to eat, like, a pizza or something, but it makes you, again, it does make you think about those decisions, because for me, when I played Ring Fit, like, I always think about, I did the exercise, I did the adventure mode, I did this, and when I look at food, it's like, okay, do I want to not indulge myself in food, like indulge too crazy in food, because Ring Fit, I made so much progress in Ring Fit, of like you're keeping track, it makes you think a little differently, and that's what I love about these games. Ring Fit is the primary example on how to do this sort of a game, this sort of a change, because there's a lot of options in Ring Fit to do, a lot of mini games, a lot of things you can do, and it also creates perfect
and
form.
I think that's well, I think it would, I kind of, I am lost on certain like exercises. But it does help that there's like an animated guide right there next to you to show you what you should be doing. But I just kind of wish there was a way to kind of like, I don't know, I guess rotate them a little bit. Cause I still don't understand the ab guard. Like, I don't feel anything. I don't know if I'm doing it right or doing it wrong. It just feels weird.
Oh, you have to press it completely down. Yeah. So I actually had that issue too. So if you press it completely down to your stomach, you actually get a bigger shield.
Well, yeah, I've noticed that, but I'm saying like the actual effect on my stomach. I don't feel anything. And I know the game's like, oh, you know, make sure to feel it in your stomach and not your arms. I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing it right. But
I mean,
it's obviously working in terms of like in the game, but I don't know if it's like actually working in real life. So. But yeah, like Ring Fit Adventure has been like a fantastic purchase so far. I'm always weary about like these fitness stuff, because like I know I have like, that's not necessarily with fitness stuff, but I do have a propensity to buy something like, yeah, man, I'm going to do this and it's going to be great. And then I never touch it again. And I mean, sure, it's only been a week, but the fact that I've been fairly consistent with it, even on, there's been a few days where I'm just like, I really don't want to do it. But then I'm like, no, I just gotta do it. And it's been great so far. So hopefully I can keep up with it. Hopefully I can keep doing it for a lot longer.
Yeah, we should actually do a contest. I know. We all have.
I'm just very not athletic at the moment. I feel like I also want to supplement Ring Fit with something, some other type of exercise, whether it's like walking or doing maybe some weight training. But I just wanted to keep on doing this for a month and see where I'm at and see if I'm still doing it, and then go from there as far as what else I need to do.
You see, Ring Fit. That's the thing about Ring Fit. That's the brilliance in it, and I'm happy. Nintendo, you know, actually did something out of the realm of what we normally
They've done stuff like this before.
Yeah, with Wii Fit. Yeah, but it
definitely feels like, because I never really tried Wii Fit, so I don't know how effective it was, but it definitely feels like with Ring Fit. God, it's so frustrating to say Ring Fit and Wii Fit. But with Ring Fit, yeah, it feels like there's a lot more, because you can actually target, your upper body, like your deltoids, your chest, things like that specifically. While it seems like with Wii Fit, I'm sure there was stuff like that. I mean, it was just like a balance board and that was it. So, but it's kind of cool. And I do like the fact that it measures your heart rate after you finish like a level. I have noticed like it's off by a little bit compared to my Apple Watch, but it's still pretty close. So it's always a little bit slower on the Ring Fit than it is on the Apple Watch, I've noticed. Okay, but other than that, I too have been playing Ghost of Tsushima. And it's boring.
Wow, that's a completely different take than
I know, and I honestly feel like I'm being contrarian, because I know originally when I got it, I was very, and I've talked to you about it on Discord. Like I was very, I wouldn't say against it, but just like nonplussed. I was like, it's fine, and I honestly thought like my opinion would change, like it was with God of War, because in the beginning that game, I was like, I don't know, it's just not clicking with me, and then as soon as like the world opened up, that's when the game clicked with me. But with Ghost of Tsushima, it just hasn't clicked, and I've played a ton of it. I wish there was like an hour counter, but like I have done so much of it, and I think what makes it feel boring to me is it's very there's not much variety in terms of what's out there in the world to do compared to other open world games. Because I had mentioned something similar to a friend of mine, because he's playing it and he likes it. And I was like, well, it's just a lot of like, it's very boring and very repetitive. And he's like, well, other open world games are repetitive. Like, you know, don't play like an Assassin's Creed game. But it's like with Assassin's Creed, they tend to have a good variety of stuff you're doing. It's not just the same stuff.
Well, here's the thing. You see, you mentioned Assassin's Creed. And I feel like Ghost of Tsushima is the Assassin's Creed in Japan that I've been wanting.
I mean,
now, I've always preferred the original Assassin's Creed format compared to Origin or an Odyssey. So yeah. For me, Ghost of Tsushima gives me life, like seeing it play out, because this is the exact like budget that I would love to see an Assassin's Creed with, and Ghost of Tsushima has fulfilled that need.
No. I'm going to say no, because I do love the setting. Now, I'm going to say the things that I love about it first, because there are lots of things that I think it does right. One is like visually, it's just amazing. It is just a fantastic watch as far as like looking at it and like all of the leaves. Like they spent a lot of time clearly on the wind physics and the particle effects. And it just looks fantastic. I've taken like, I don't normally care about like photo mode in games, but I have taken like so many pictures. And like, just, it's just fun to do. Just like get to a spot that looks really cool, and you know, line up your shot and like add effects, and it's really fantastic. And especially since it's put in the game from the beginning, Because, like, I remember playing Spider-Man, and, like, I was already, like, most way through the game, and they're like, hey, there's a photo mode. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm already done with the game, almost, so.
Well, Sucker Punch was the... They were one of the first to implement a true photo mode with Infamous Second Son, besides, yeah, like, racing games. So they actually turned it up a notch, too, because they have, like, live environments now that you can do, yeah, in Ghost of Tsushima, so...
And that's cool, too, with the live environments, because you can do, like, a little video, and so, like, your character is standing still, and then, like, you know, the wind is going, and, like, the grass is going, and it looks really, really cool. And with Infamous, like, they added it late. I think they added it, like, after I finished the game, and that's not enough for me to replay the game, photo modes. I'm like, that's fine. So I never went back to that, but, like, that's cool to have. But as far as what I don't like about it... Jin is a boring sack of shit who has no personality.
Well, I think that's the point. I think
I know he's supposed to be like a player insert, like, character, yeah, but like he is very single-minded. He is very just plain and boring. Like the whole like setup, because I've only finished through Act 1, and the whole setup was like, you know, he's a very honorable samurai and like he doesn't want to, like, backstab, blah, 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 do any of the stealth stuff. But he has to because, you know, reasons. And then they set it up where his uncle's also a very, like, honorable samurai type and wants to come and go in, you know, the honorable way and does not like the whole stealth kind of backstabbing stuff. And it feels like there's something there to be kind of, like, more of a personality hook, him kind of being divided between the honorable way and the stealthy way, and he fucking never brings it up outside of the beginning so far. It's just a thing that he says, a thing that his uncle says, and then that's it. There's more there that they could have expanded upon. Hell, they could have even done a quote-unquote, like, morality system or honorable system, yeah, where, like, if you do more kills and stuff with the samurai way, you know, you get this stuff, or if you do the ghost way, you get this stuff, but it's, well, just the thing.
I was about to mention with that, that's definitely a part two. If a part two is coming, that stuff
it should have been part of part two.
Well, the thing with Sucker Punch and the thing with Sucker Punch that I've seen is that they tried that with Infamous Second Son. And I don't think they fully are aware on how to grasp that and use it.
Well, they did it with the first two Infamous games as well. Like, yeah, there was a morality system. And the problem with that was... See, the problem with that kind of thing is it's hard to... Because morality is very much, like, a gray area. And, I mean, obviously, like, with Ghost of Tsushima, like, you could do a lot of samurai stuff with some stealth stuff, and there's still a gray area, but it would have been nice to see Jin kind of change the way he perceives things. It's like, okay, you know, I have to be honorable, but I need to protect my people, so this is the way to do it. And so he decides to do more ghost stuff, stealth stuff, but...
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That should be an emphasis, and you should see that actually grow through the story.
Yeah.
Like, if you do stuff like, just like Infamous, nice, yeah.
And it would be nice if there was that kind of skill tree-esque, like, you can choose, you know, if you go ghost, you know, you can do more stuff in terms of more stealth, you know, have more options. The stealth options, and this is why I don't think it's like Assassin's Creed, is it's very limited. Like, there's no... way, like, if you're hanging on a ledge and there's an enemy above you, there's no way to, like, pull them down into, do a stealth kill and drag them down like you can in Assassin's Creed. You can't hide bodies like in Assassin's Creed. Like, there, it's very limited in terms of stealth stuff. Plus, the way that the stances are done is super annoying. Like, you have, like, a few different, like, four different enemy types, major enemy types, and, you know, you can switch between them, and that, like, the stances to kind of attack each one, then that's great, but, like, when you're slowly unlocking each stance, like, certain enemies are a pain in the ass, like, the fucking spear guys are a pain in the fucking ass.
Oh, no, you have to learn how to, learn you how have to dodge
them. Yeah. And then, like, there's a parry ability that you can unlock in a stance, and it's kind of like, not in the stance, but in, like, the samurai parrying tree.
Skill tree,
which,
yeah.
Again, it's kind of annoying. That's a separate thing. You'd think that that would be unlocked once you unlock the stance, but no. But it does make things a lot easier as you, you know, start filling out those skill trees for the stances. Like, I think I stopped at getting more stagger, or it's faster to stagger with the stances on the certain types of enemies.
I see it as, yeah, like, I get what you're saying with that. Like, it's easier.
Yeah, over and then time. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because there's a lot of games that already you feel like a badass, you're doing all this shit, and they're so easy on the onset. This game actually feels like, you remember Mega Man X, where you see Zero, and you're like, wow, he's badass. And then sooner or later, like, during playing Mega Man X, you get all these powers, and then you become a badass? That's what this feels like.
I guess so, but it doesn't feel like really being a badass so much as getting skills that you kind of should have had from the beginning or had them a lot earlier. There's no, like, outside of, like, some mythical skills, there's no, like, wow, I feel like a really badass because I can do this and this. It's just kind of like, eh. One thing I forgot to say that I thought was really cool is the duels are, like, really badass. Like, the fact that it kind of completely changes, I wouldn't say completely changes the combat, but it's very different. And I like that. They kind of almost feel like boss battles. I would have, I think, preferred if they had more enemy types, because every time you do a duel, it's just two swords. So it would have been nice if, like, you know, there's a sword, and then you obviously Jin has a sword, and then he fights someone with, like, a sword and shield, or, like, a staff, or something like that, just to kind of change it up a little bit. But I think the duels were cool.
Well, they look cool, too. Like, they're like, all... Like, they're presented so well. And they,
yes.
And, you know, anytime, like, you do a dodge or something, or it's just very, very animated in a good way. That it's like watching an old samurai movie or something, like, depicted, you know, just in the in Japanese culture. So
yeah, about the animation. The animations are trash. They suck.
They're janky. I wouldn't say all of them suck, because the things that you could do, like jumping off your horse and then, like, getting assassination, yeah, well, that looks cool.
Really, yeah, but I really more mean, like, the general animations rather than just Jin, because Jin obviously is the main character. He's going to be a little bit more animated. And I remember saying, like, in chat that the game felt like a PS3 game, and it didn't look like one. Don't get me wrong. It does not look like a PS3 game. There's no way in hell this could run on the PS3. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it felt like it, and I couldn't quite say how or why, and I realized it was the animations to, like, all the NPC, like, all the bit characters, all the characters that are just kind of, like, there to give you a quest. They're very early PS3, just very kind of stiff, and, like, they have their set path that they have to walk on, and it's very awkward. Even, like, whenever you die and you're on the ground and, like, an enemy has to come over and kill you, it's not seamless. You can, like, sometimes, like, they'll stop moving and then just slide into place and then do the attack, and it's just very awkward. Plus, a lot of the shots where you're talking to those NPCs are very far away, and it just feels very PS3-y, just the way that's set up.
Well, yeah, and that's mostly due to the animations, which I agree with you on that. I definitely agree with you on that, where the animations definitely took a hit. It seems like it's something that, you know, overall could be better. Now, you know, like, the fighting, like, the combat, the animations are great for that. That's where, like, animations are great.
It's fine. They're not amazing. They're fine.
No, there's definitely some good animations there. But I get what you're saying, like, it looks PS3-ish in terms of the animations. Mm-hmm. And then comparing it to The Last of Us Part 2, which just came out as well. That's to me, that's where that falls under. Like, that's where you could really tell, like, when things are not real good when playing The Last of Us Part 2, because the production value on The Last of Us 2 is way higher. Definitely more people working on The Last of Us Part 2. But for Sucker Punch, it's a good try with the animations and everything else. It's definitely a good try. Like, you could also compare it to, like, Tekken, I guess, because Tekken is something that their animations are still stuck in, like, the PS2 era.
No, so, I'm gonna say it's more like Mortal Kombat. And I think that's a lot more apt, because their animations are very jank.
Yeah.
Visually, it looks nice. Yeah. There's a lot of content. Just not the quality of some other games. So, but the other final thing I'm going to bring up in my shitting on Tsushima.
No. Don't even say that. It's a crate.
It's fine. Is, like I said, the open world wise, it's very repetitive, and it's not the reason why I feel like it's repetitive, at least to me, is there is not much variety in terms of the, I guess, the attractions, I guess, in the world, like the question marks. Like, if you go to a question mark, it's either going to be like a fox den where you have to follow a fox, which is not really a thing. It's just, okay, you follow a fox for like a few meters, and then it takes you to a shrine, and then that's it. Or, you know, you find something, like you find a bamboo stand, you find a hot spring, you find a, what is it? I feel like I'm missing something else. You find a haiku spot, and sure, the haiku is a little bit different, like you can kind of select it, but it's still kind of like finding something. It's a collectible. It's not an activity. The only activities really, well, I guess the bamboo thing is an activity.
Yeah, it's like, activity, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just, and I guess the haiku thing is, but it really is just more, there's not much to it. It's pretty much like you'll find a Mongol encampment, or you'll find an encampment with certain enemies, which are kind of a spoiler if I say who they are. And it feels like I have to approach it the same way every single time. Like, I mean, sure, I can change it up, but like the way I do it is like I hide the grass and start picking off enemies as far as I can. And then I do the if there's a bonus objective, like, okay, you have to kill an enemy with a kunai, or you have to kill an enemy under the smoke bomb. Like, I'll do that. But other than that, it's just kind of like, I know what I have to do. Boom, 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 boom. And if things go south, I take care of all the enemies, and it's fine. And it's like that every single time. There's not much of a chance for variety. Like, it's not like something like Far Cry, where, like, on some camps or bandit camps or whatever, like, there'll be a bear or, like, a pig or something that you can, like, in a cage that you can, you know, open up and, like, they'll attack, or, you know, there's another objective or something like that. It's just very, like, clear out the camp, talk to the hostage, or clear out the camp and then, you know, get a few collectibles and then that's it. It's very, like, boom, 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 this is what you do and that's it. There's a lot of those.
Yeah,
and even the story missions are like that. Like, you'll go to an area, talk to some people, enemies will fight you, and then that's the end of that story mission. And that, it's just so boring. There's not much variety.
But I would say there's certain quests, like major quests, that they do provide some, you know, some variety.
Yeah, but that's like the major quest, and it would have been nice if they had kind of some of that stuff in the regular game. Like, there is a main story quest where you have to protect a boat from Mongol boats, and you have this, I forget what they called it, but it's kind of like a Bastilla, I think, where it just like launches like flaming arrows. And it would be kind of cool if like there were spots along the coast where you had to take care of that, and like kind of change it up a little bit. Like, you know, maybe that's their only thing. or like more duels with like different types of enemies, because like the duels were cool. I mean, sure, they're there, but it's like, it's just, there's not much variety in terms of what you can do in the world. Because like because I basically stopped playing. Like I got to a point last night where because I've been pretty consistent about doing all of the all the mythic quests, all of the kind of like the side missions with the characters, the side missions with like the NPCs. Whenever there was one that would pop up, I would take care of it. And where I stopped was I had just finished. I had done like 5 in a row in this, like on the second act, on the second island. And then I look at the map and I had like 9 left, and I'm like, I can't. I'm not interested in doing this, and so I just stopped. And I really don't want to go back. I might go back if I'm bored enough, but I'm done. I legitimately think I'm done. It was fine while it lasted, but it's just an okay game that's just kind of disappointing.
Wow, completely different.
Completely different. Yeah,
completely different.
Very different. And like I said, I don't want to just seem like contrarian. Like, oh my god, I really wanted to be like God of War, where like it didn't quite click with me in the beginning, but then like, okay, yeah, I get it now, and it's a lot of fun. But it didn't get that way. It was just kind of like a lot of the same from the beginning, and it just was just okay. Outside of the picture mode, the pretty aesthetics, the physics. It's just, there wasn't much there for me.
Yeah, for me, it's, what do you call it? It's fulfilling the Assassin's Creed Japan for me. And that's what it's doing for me. So that's how I take it.
Yeah, like I feel like I still would like to see an Assassin's Creed tackle that, even though they're doing Valhalla. But it's just kind of, I wanted more, I guess, and I don't think the game was offering that to me. But anyway, that's enough games we've played and my segment on shitting on Tsushima. let's go into, I guess, the two topics that were really interesting this week, because there was really only two. First one was a Nintendo Mini Direct, which was, I think, 10 to 15 minutes. It was very short, and they said specifically it was on announced games. And they had 5 things that they showed off, and it was a pretty okay, mini direct until the end. Obviously not everything I was interested in. Cadence of Hyrule DLC, which was kind of cool. They announced a physical release, which I'll probably pick up. They had Rogue Company, which you kind of talked about a little bit. Which I'm not interested in, because I don't like online shooters. Like, I get angry, and I don't like playing them.
Yeah, that's the one I play Rogue Company, because right after they, like I mentioned, right after this mini, the game actually launched for early access, and Hi-Rez mm-hmm. Studios sent us a copy, so. But yeah, I think for the Switch, It's definitely like a great showcase of visuals for the Switch, and it's a pretty solid game so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a stream on it too, not too long ago, so it's pretty solid for me.
Yeah, and it looks, I mean, like visually it looks pretty cool. I like the character they showed off, but it's just one of those things where like I try to play it. Like Overwatch was the closest I ever got to consistently playing something like that, and even then I was just kind of like, eh. I only cared about the characters and just, I don't know. I'll probably get Overwatch 2 just because I think they said there's going to be story mode, which I'll probably play. But anyway, they also showed a WWE 2K Battlegrounds, which was like a super deformed, hyper...
Arcade
cartoony wrestling game, which was fine. You know, it's kind of a cool... It's a good variety of stuff that they showed off so far, you know. Obviously... WWE stuff is still pretty big. They're not going to have a 2K2 this year, or 2K20 this year, which they announced a while ago, because 2K... No, okay, they're not going to have a 2K21, because 2K20 was shit. Yeah.
Well,
I always forget with like sports games, it's always a year ahead.
Yeah. Also with 2K21, Yuke's, the developer who mm-hmm. has been on these WWE titles, are not making the game anymore. So now it's like 2K mm-hmm. kind of scrambling.
Yeah. 2K scrambled to finish 2K20, and it came out like just terribly. And so they're taking a year off to actually work from the ground up.
And you would think Tsushima is like jank, but that's Tsushima's like high quality jank with animations. This is just like complete broken down, piss awful.
No, there's like nice jank, which is I guess Tsushima a little bit, and then there's just like what the fuck is this? Yeah. And that is 2K20. Yeah. So with that, they announced a Shin Megami Tensei 3 remaster, HD remaster, for Switch, PS4, and, which I didn't realize until just now, PC, which automatically answers the question about which system I'm going to get it on, because I thought it was just the Switch at first, and if it was just the Switch, I'd be like, yeah, I'll get it, of course. And then I heard that a PS4 version, I'm like, I really don't want to buy any more PS4 games right now, with the PS5 coming out. But I'll get it on PC for sure. Because it's one of those games I played a little bit of, but it was just too hard for me, and I never really played too much more. But that was like, fuck, I don't know, 15 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, it was a pretty long time since it came out.
The original 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Came out.
And that's the one with Dante, right? Don't.
Yes, but yes. The remaster will not have Dante.
Ah. I thought it was like just suspecting that direct. I thought Dante was going to be there.
No, they replaced Dante with a different character, Raido, who was in, I don't want to say the sequels, but there was a different Shin Megami Tensei spinoff that came out a little bit later. Raido and the Faceless Army or something. There was two of them. And so that main character is showing up in place of Dante. So you can't use that sticker, including Dante from the Devil May Cry series that's on everything. But yeah, it looks really cool. It'll be nice to revisit. And they also had a teaser for Shin Megami Tensei 5, which they announced, 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Yeah, it was.
The Switch is showing like the January before it released, I think. And I know a lot of people were asking, like, you know, where's Shin Megami Tensei 5? Like, they showed it forever ago. And that's just how the Shin Megami Tensei team works. They just take their fucking time with it. The same thing happened with the Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem game. Like, they announced that way back, and then it took them, like, years for that to release. And it came out as something completely different. So, that's just how it works. I was super hyped for it, because it's just, like, it looked amazing. It looked cool. I generally prefer the aesthetics to Shin Megami Tensei than I do Persona.
Ah, I was about to say, I prefer Persona.
Yeah. It's just, well, because Persona is kind of, like, kind of what got people more interested in
the other stuff, yeah, in deeper diving.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, because there really hasn't been too much stuff with the mainline series, even some of the spinoffs. It's just like Persona is very high profile, and even though it's a spinoff of Shin Megami Tensei, it just was never as popular. I'm trying to think of an example of that, but I can't think of anything where like the spinoff is more popular than the original. Whatever. But, yeah, Shin Megami Tensei has been around forever. I'm kind of hoping that they have a port of 4 Apocalypse at some point, because, like, it's only available on the 3DS. And apparently now, since they have all this stuff coming out, like, the resale prices have skyrocketed, which sucks. Because it was one of those games I had and just traded in, like, a long time ago. But, yeah, And the thing that's been annoying for me about this mini direct is, like, after it ended, a lot of people fucking hated it. like they were expecting more, or they were expecting something else.
Yeah, when it was hearing the feedback from the community and seeing how everything everything is. Yeah, everything is like the thing I want to say with that is that everything is not based around you. That's the best advice I could give to people who follow games and love games as much as we do. These games are catered to different people, and that's why I like, the way Nintendo handles these mini directs, because they're just showing you here's this game, here's that game. They're just showing you random stuff, and there's no hyping anything up, because this one just came randomly. I like that. I like that it's just random. I like that they don't overhype stuff. And we'll talk about that with Microsoft's games event, because that plays a part into how you see certain games. So the way they just threw out this mini direct, and it's like, okay, cool. They have this game, they have that game. Perfect. But not all these games are meant to, not all of them are meant for you. So there's no need to get, there's no need to get outraged over it. You might find something new, you never play Shin Megami Tensei, then try it when it comes out. It might it might just work for you.
Exactly. And the thing is, I remember especially during the Wii U period, where people were where's the third party, there's no third party support. This is third party support, and it's gonna look differently. It's not gonna be Nintendo stuff. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people who buy Nintendo systems for just the Nintendo games, and I can understand being disappointed because of that. I'm going to understand being disappointed because it is almost August, and we don't know what's coming out from Nintendo for the rest of the year, and they've been very tight-lipped about it. But the good thing with Nintendo, though, is they can announce something next week, and it'll come out the following month, and they've been pretty good about from announcement to release. Hell, fucking Paper Mario was announced in April or May, and it just came out in July, out of nowhere. And so they're pretty good about doing that stuff, although I kind of feel it's starting to get a little close to end of the year, so they should start showing stuff. But I also feel insiders have kind of spoiled a lot of people who follow Nintendo Directs, because apparently, from what I understand, the reason why some people were disappointed was someone was saying that there was supposed to be a Bravely Default 2 announcement or date announcement on here, but then it didn't show up, so that's why people got disappointed. But it's whatever. I mean, it's fine. It's a thing that happens, and you like it or you don't, and you move on.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's specific insiders, you mentioned. Now, this is when we go into the next topic, this is actually, for me, what makes the Microsoft Games event not as powerful as it should be. Because, we're talking about insiders, people who might not know, just spreading FUD all over the internet. But when it comes from the actual studios telling you this and that to be excited, to be hype, there's a problem when that doesn't deliver.
Yeah. So, and it seems like this year Microsoft is no stranger to disappointing showings. Even though I think overall the Microsoft game event was pretty good, it was they had a lot of stuff that I was interested in. A lot of stuff that was very obvious. It kind of did a bad job selling the Xbox Series X. And that's not exactly something you want for the launch of the system.
Yeah.
That's kind of something that you want after the system has been out for a few years and maybe you're changing gears. Kind of like they did with Xbox One and Game Pass.
Yeah, and that was the hope. Then this is the problem with the Microsoft's game event. It really didn't want you to own the system. It didn't want you to own the Series X. And coming off of that other event that we had in, when was it? Was it March or May? One of those two? See, I don't even
May
remember.
May was the one where it was like the third party like gameplay previews.
Yeah, the third party game preview. Microsoft also had that event, and that was not impressive to me. There were some things there that I did like. But when you go ahead and overhype something as a company, saying that it's going to deliver, it's going to do this and that, and then you show off this. And it's so crazy because I like the route that Microsoft is going with how they're presenting the Series X. I like that because now they're getting into their own shell. Now they're becoming confident enough to say, okay, we're going to stop buying AAA exclusives out. We're going to stop doing this and focus on our own titles.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I say that, like, oh, they're going to stop buying AAA exclusives, they still have time exclusives. That's something that's still there. Something that still happens.
Sony has time exclusives. Like, it's not, it doesn't matter.
And that's
It's nice that Microsoft is actually getting their studios to create works for them that are exclusive for their system or that exclusive for their ecosystem.
Yes,
that you can't find on competitors. And that is a good thing.
That is a good thing. But here, this is where it goes wrong. I liked a lot of the titles that were shown. I'm not so sure on the quality. That's the thing. That's my whole thing. That's my next big thing. They're finally getting there. They're finally starting. And in the next 4 to 5 years, we're probably going to start seeing the quality of these titles. But to hold them up to a standard on the way Microsoft says they're going to deliver, they're going to do this and that. Like, again, it's not making a point for you buying the Series X. Because none of those titles that I saw, because the only actual gameplay that was shown was Halo Infinite. And that was a 10-minute gameplay demo. That was actually more gameplay shown.
They had some gameplay shown.
With Psychonauts? Was
Psychonauts, yes. Yeah. Forza, I'm Forza, trying to remember.
Forza was not
I know they
gameplay.
Had in-engine visuals, but I don't remember if they had gameplay.
No, Forza did not have gameplay. Psychonauts had gameplay. Halo Infinite had gameplay.
I think Crossfire X had gameplay. I think.
That's the thing. Like, there was no direction for... This is all going to be shown on Xbox.
Yeah, well,
X.
I mean,
you see, that's the difference. That's the difference that Sony had.
Well,
Sony came out first with Grand Theft Auto 5 in their presentation, and then after that, they said everything that you're going to see here is running on a PlayStation 5. That's all Microsoft needed to say for the Series X, because right now, that case where they're not. That case right now that is that they don't want to sell you a Series X. They're selling you Game Pass, and you could use Game Pass for PC, you could use Game Pass for Xbox One, and you could use Game Pass for Series X. But Microsoft is launching the Xbox Series X this year. This should have been that moment to make it clear.
It should have, like, this game showcase. I mean, obviously, they want to sell Game Pass, and that's great, but I think they should have definitely focused on titles or had titles specifically for next gen or for the Series X. Like, Halo Infinite should not really have been on the One X, period. Or the One, Xbox One, should not have been on that. It should have just been on the Series X and then PC. And I know it's great that they have that availability to, you know, for Xbox One owners to play it as well. But it's kind of like, you know, it's time to get aggressive. You're going into a new system generation. You want people to buy your system. And Halo, at some point, was a system seller. It was the killer app. And that's what you need to be. Or that's what you need to have for, you know, for the system. And again, it's great that it's part of Game Pass, but they should, like, with Game Pass, be like, okay, these games play on Xbox One and the Series X, And these are the games that only play on the Series X. And Halo Infinite should have been just Series X game.
Yeah, and looking at that gameplay, that 10 minutes of gameplay, like, you know, I was watching the live stream, and then I saw because the live stream was only in 1080p, and then I saw it on my 4K TV for Halo Infinite, and I was like, this really doesn't do it for me. Like, it doesn't wow me. There's nothing here to wow me. Yeah, I know Halo's always been about, like, gameplay. I know that. But
yeah, because like that's kind of how I felt, like, because I didn't watch the live stream. I did watch like the VOD later, and that was in 4K 60, and originally, like, I got super excited because there's something about, like, just Halo that kind of gets me excited, and then when they went into the game, it's kind of like, yeah, that's Halo. Like, it looks exactly like every other first level of a Halo game. And I think it's just kind of the art direction. Will I get it? Yes. Will I get a Series X for it? No, I'm getting it on PC. But still, it's one of those, like, it could have just been a lot better overall. But it still, I mean, like, it's good that they said that they were going to show off the gameplay, and then they showed off the gameplay, and that's how they lead the show. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, but that's all they lead it. Like, that's all we pretty much saw.
Yeah, because, like, with Everwild, honestly, I kind of dug the hippie Pacific Northwest, Portland, like, witch vibe that CG trailer was giving off. Like, I was like, I want this game. But at the same time, it's kind of like, what is this game? Like, what is it trying to be?
Well, I don't know. Even Rare doesn't know what the game is going
Apparently
to be.
Apparently not, no.
Yes, they don't, like, they don't even know what the game is going to be. And this actually was recent. It seems like they don't have a base idea of what else you could do in Everwild, which to me makes no sense, because I thought this trailer was awesome. I thought graphically it looks nice, presentation, everything just, like, worked in this trailer. But we didn't see any gameplay of it. We don't know what the heck it's going to be about. And it's kind of weird, too, because after the fact that this trailer was shown, you find out that it's only going to be on Xbox Series X and PC. And this kind of contradicts what Microsoft wanted to do with still having the current generation present. Because this game was supposed to come out on Xbox One as well. So now this game is, we don't have a release date for it. It's probably coming out in 2022. Rare has no idea what the gameplay is going to be. In my head, like, this feels like they just pitched the concept to us.
Yeah, and this is something that shouldn't have been pitched to the consumer. It should have been pitched to Microsoft with, like, an underlying gameplay elements, like, already figured out. Like, that we shouldn't be at a CG stage showing it off to people in this state without, like, some stuff. Speaking of which, I literally just thought about where the fuck is Battletoads?
Oh, yeah.
Where the fuck is Battletoads? They announced that years ago. They had gameplay at last year's E3. Oh, where the fuck is Battletoads? Like, I honestly, back in my head, I feel like it was canceled. And Microsoft didn't want to acknowledge another canceled game, because that's pretty much all the Xbox One was. It was games canceled left and right. And so they just kind of like, we're not going to talk about it. But yeah, that's my conspiracy theory as far as Battlefield. But yeah, Everwild looks good. It just doesn't have anything to it. State of Decay 3 scared the shit out of me when that lady screamed. Like, it literally, like, gave me chills. I was like, eh.
Well, State of Decay 3, and this is another thing, with just this whole showing, is that Microsoft, and this is Phil Spencer in particular, commented that we are going to deliver for the Xbox Series X, but State of Decay is now in pre-production, and that trailer was CGI. And I find that unbelievable, because this system is launching this year, and that's a problem. And then when you do the comparison with Sony, unfortunately, we have to do the comparison because you know, they're going head to head and they want you to buy these systems, right? That's the whole entire idea of these events. And Sony did a much better job at letting you know what was coming on the system, giving you at least a little wiggle room with dates, but a majority of the Xbox games that were shown are not coming out this year, as well as the PS5 games, but most of those trailers had 2021 or more, or 2022, because they just started production on these games. They take years. Again, I love the idea of Microsoft finally targeting their first-party studios and starting to get more confidence, but there's a certain quality level that we also have to look at, and we also have to look at what they're going to be offering. And this kind of, you know, this kind of like inconsistency puts Sony on top in terms of the strategy. It looks like they were already ready. They were prepared for PS5. And Microsoft's strategy, you know, including Xbox One and Xbox Series X and PC, is actually faltering of what, you know, on what they're showing. Because if this is all they got, and they want people to buy the Xbox Series X, then this is not going to work.
Yeah, it's progressively starting to feel like hardware-wise, Microsoft was ready for the Xbox One X, or Series X, goddammit, to release this year. But software-wise, like, they don't have much. And I feel like they're only doing it this year is because Sony's doing it this year. Like, if Sony announces a delay, Microsoft will have a delay as well.
Well, the crazy thing, like I said, like, it feels like they are not ready. And that's a problem, because when Microsoft touts the Series X is the most powerful console ever, but they have nothing to show for it. There's nothing there. Like, when you look at games like Ratchet, when you look at Miles, when you look at Horizon, you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to get something close to that, at the very least. And we seen Ratchet run full gameplay. And Horizon has in-game stuff. And Miles has in-game stuff in the short snippet that we had. And we know those studios. We know Insomniac. We know Guerrilla, so we know what they're about. So we're not going to be disappointed about that.
Yeah, it's good to have things that are coming up, but at the same time, I guess the problem was, like, a lot of these studios were kind of gearing up at the same time, so they don't have stuff to show at the same time. And I think this would have been, this games event would have been better if it was merged with the other one, the gameplay one, so that would be a little bit more variety in terms of stuff. Because it right now it just does seem like a lot of CG trailers, a lot of stuff coming out in the future, which is good if you're buying a new console, but it's like you still need stuff for the now. You still need stuff for the short term. And then, so, like, yeah, the next thing they showed was Psychonauts 2, which, another game that, this isn't Microsoft's fault, but, like, you know, was, I feel like it was crowdfunded on Fig, like, I want to say 2015, something like that, like, years ago. And it's still, like, probably won't be released until six years after the fact.
Well, it was actually supposed to release this year, but after this trailer was shown, actually, after the whole event, we come to find out that it actually got delayed right after it was shown.
Yeah, which honestly is not something that I am surprised about, because I have it, like, added on my Steam wish list, and it was still had a date for 2020. Didn't have a month, didn't have a quarter, it was just 2020. So when they announced the delay, I'm like, yeah, that's obvious. I just hope that it means that they're closer to being finished, and it's not, like, constantly dragging it out. But it's still kind of funny, Psychonauts 2 being in Microsoft's hands, because originally Psychonauts 1 was original Xbox exclusive, but then Microsoft decided not to publish it. Then it went to Majesco, and then now Microsoft bought Double Fine. So, but yeah. Okay, next up, they have Forza Motorsport, which is fucking Forza Motorsport. Like, what else can you say about it? It's like GT Gran Turismo 7. It's like, yeah, obviously, it's gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. Here's the kicker, and this is why I say that they just weren't ready. Gran Turismo 7 actually had gameplay snippets, and it was fully functioning. And that's a prop. That is a problem. And the reason why I say it's a problem, the Gran Turismo team, Polyphony Digital, takes so long on making games, but for them to have a Gran Turismo 7 like trailer off the bat and it fully functioning with menus, and we got to see that, that's a huge problem. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. there's not even a Forza Motorsport trailer. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. It kind of blew me away that they didn't have Forza.
Yeah, and like you have, especially since you have like a Forza game like almost every other year or every year. So yeah, the fact that it took a while is kind of like, okay. Or the fact that it doesn't have anything is kind of like, okay. But I mean, I'm hoping it's still like one of those things where it was just a bad showing and they have more. And then next up we have Obsidian's stuff. And they showed off three things. DLC for the Outer Worlds. Grounded, which actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah, Grounded I actually played the early access, the demo.
Early access, yeah.
That they had. I played it. I thought it was good. I love Obsidian.
I'll probably get the early access one because it looks cool. Can you customize your child? Your kid?
You see, the thing is that when I played the demo, it only gave me like a specific character. I didn't go too far in. I browsed a bit of it. I didn't get to play too much of it, but I liked what I played of it. I think it looks awesome. I'm always down for anything Obsidian. So I think it looks awesome. That's actually releasing sooner. But again, it's kind of, again, it's the quality. It always comes down to the quality. It's a smaller title. We'll give it that.
And they did say specifically that it is an early access title. So that's more of it's clearly they have something that's stable enough to show to people and so people can give feedback. So that's not really one way or another for me. That's kind of like, okay, they have it. It seems like it's in, I wouldn't say a completed state, but it's in an okay state. That they're going to keep adding on. So that's a good thing. They showed Avowed, which is a first-person RPG that's going to be their big AAA title. I will say I am, because all they showed was CG, so it's not fucking anything.
Yeah, and this game is definitely coming out in 2022 or 2023. Like,
yeah, it's years from release, which is fine. You know, this is like their big thing. I'm just a little worried. Because, like, anytime, like, a studio like Obsidian, who does great work, but is always, like, either not given enough budget, not given enough time, and they crank out great shit, even though it's a little jank, I'm afraid now that they have all this time and stuff, that their vision is still very complete, that they don't allow feature creep, and it's just very focused. Because it's very easy for a studio that suddenly gets like an influx of cash and an influx of like support goes very astray. BioWare. So it's not. I'm hoping the best for Obsidian. Like, I'm hoping it's just kind of like me being paranoid for no reason. They have a clear goal. Obsidian hasn't been very technically minded, but I'm hoping Microsoft kind of helps supplement that stuff.
Yeah, I want to win for Obsidian in terms of them being viewed as bigger, because all their games seem awesome.
Yeah, they have the talent there as far as like storytelling and all this other stuff. They just need the chance to make that big, you know, AAA type game, and I'm hoping this is it for them.
Yeah,
I'm hoping this.
Me
works.
Too. I would like an Alpha Protocol too, though.
Yeah, but that's up to Sega. You can fucking yell at Sega for that one.
Yeah.
The show, they talked about Hellblade, which it's Hellblade. They didn't show too much on it, but they showed a lot more at a previous event. So it's kind of
And again, this is the thing. This is the whole thing where they say, or Microsoft said they're going to deliver. The game that everybody wanted to see was Hellblade, because when they showed it, you know, when they first showed the Series X, it was at the Games Award Show, and Hellblade was shown. And for them to not show Hellblade now, especially in this moment in time, it makes no sense. Like, who made these decisions? They should have showed at least a snippet. All they did was just announce that it was going to be set in Iceland. And that's it. There wasn't anything to it. And yeah, I feel like it's, they just weren't ready for any of this. Like, this whole show was crafted as a reactionary.
I wouldn't say reactionary. I think they knew they had to do it, but it just wasn't thought through very well. And it could also be because of COVID that, you know, they weren't able to do what they should do, but it's very disappointing. Yeah. They also showed off Remedy's game, Crossfire X, which looks really cool, and I'm very interested in it. But good God, does it have a generic-ass name to it.
Well, Crossfire X is actually, the title is actually split between multiplayer and single player. Remedy is working on the single player, and the multiplayer has actually been out for quite a while. Not in America though, so it's actually been out. And Remedy is just working on the single player campaign.
Yeah.
So with Crossfire X, which I find interesting, and this was noted in the actual event, that the multiplayer is going to be available on Game Pass, not the single player. And this event pretty much solidified that Microsoft's, you know, strategy is to use Game Pass, you know, to get people to join Game Pass. And all these titles that we're talking about, they're going to be playable on Game Pass day one, besides a particular few. This one I find interesting because it's like, okay, so multiplayer is available on Game Pass, and it's not going to be the same. Obviously, it's not the same game as the single player. And I just find it weird that the single player is just not included in this sort of a deal. But I'm interested, to see what Remedy does with this first person shooter with Crossfire X.
Yeah, it looked cool. I got shades of Fear from it, like the old game from
Fear
Monolith, or is it Monolith Soft? Not the company that makes Xenoblade, like the company that did the Fear series, Fear and Condemned. But I get like Fear vibes from it, which is great. It looked really cool, so hoping for the best on that one. They also showed Stalker 2, which, cool, I guess. I don't really care one way or another. Same thing with, like, State of Decay. It's like, okay, cool. And then, it looks fine. I think I have the first Stalker on Steam, but I've never played it before.
Well, the first Stalker did a lot of things, very impressively, visually. A lot of attention to detail with textures. With the original Stalker. So that's going to be one to look out for, because that potentially could be a system seller. That's actually going to be a launch, not a launch title exclusive, but it's going to have an exclusive debut on the Xbox Series X and Game Pass. So that one is going to be interesting to look into. Again, this is something further down the line with Stalker 2. But even so, if it takes the whole messaging problem with the delivering, and if it takes like something like Stalker 2 for them to show off the capability of the Series X, then it's like, what the heck? Then where's the quality in your first party studios? That means you're not ready. And this is just I'm reiterating this because this show was Microsoft as a first party. I love what they're doing. They're finally getting the focus there.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not ready, and the quality is not up to snuff compared to Sony's. And well, it's showing. Yeah. It's showing. And
well,
it's
they're not ready for sure. I don't want to say that their stuff isn't up to snuff with Sony because we haven't seen shit. But again, that kind of goes with the first point where I don't think they are ready. Like, they ended the show with a Fable CG trailer, which would be kind of, like, more interesting if they hadn't had a whole bunch of just, like, nebulous trailers before that were kind of the same, just kind of announcing the title, and then that's it. The same thing happened kind of with State of Decay, with Stalker 2, with Avowed, which is, like, kind of announcing the title, and then nothing else. So it's kind of hard to get super excited for, like, Fable, especially since I haven't liked the direction. I didn't like the direction of 3, and I didn't like where they were headed with Legends, even though apparently it was almost done. I have no expectations for this. Because I just want, like, a single-player story, kind of like the first two games. That's all I want.
I'm wondering, too, with, like, I know Legends was almost finished. I'm wondering, too, if they're just going to repackage Legends. This is one of my, like, scary, like, you know, thoughts about it. Because I like Fable. Growing up, I had it on PC. I still have my original Fable on PC in, you know, the big boxes. And for them to have Legends already completed, showing us this trailer and this retooling Legends, I would be pretty pissed off to see them do it that way, Frankensteining it instead of just
they
like
would,
scrapping it.
Just because there's no point in like Frankensteining it and like rebranding it to something else. If they were going to do that, they would just release it or they would show gameplay, not like a CG trailer. And even then the CG trailer was like nothing. It just showed a fairy and a frog and then just some random stuff. It didn't hint towards anything. It just kind of set up a generic fantasy world. And so it's outside of the name, it's kind of hard to get excited.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting look at it. I'm excited for Xbox 5 years down the line. That's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah, the future looks a lot better. It's going to be rough. It's not a good time to launch a console, but it seems like they have to. Like they can't wait. If they launch later, it's not going to sell.
Yeah. And here's the thing with that. Because Microsoft has a lot of contradicting statements on what their strategy is. You know, all the focus is on Game Pass. They want us to believe all the focus is on Game Pass, but they could have easily delayed the Series X, launch it next year, use Game Pass as pretty much, okay, we could play Halo, you know, Infinite on PC, you could play it here, you could play it there. They could easily, you know, delay it this year and really get us like pumped up with, you know, just more polished and finished looks into games for next year. They could, it's a very easy thing for them to, not easy thing for them to do, but the end result would be much better.
It would be much better, but the problem with that, too, is, like I said, they have to release it at the same time Sony does, and they know it. Because with the 360, they launched it a year early when their hardware wasn't done, and that kind of did give them an edge in terms of, like, early sales, even though, you know, the Red Ring of Death was a big thing and, like, hardware failure. But that kind of gave them an edge in the beginning, especially since at the time, too, developers were having a hard time with a cell processor. But with PS4 and the Xbox One, like, their own fucking marketing shot them in the foot for that one. So, obviously, it didn't end well. But they have to kind of keep up with Sony in terms of hardware release. They can't afford to release it later, because at that point, it's kind of like, you'll have already sold a few million units of the PS4 and PS5. and not many people are going to be too interested in the Series X, especially since there really wouldn't be anything to get it, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Microsoft's mixed messaging on what their strategy is also plays a part, because if they really want to use Game Pass, like really, really, really focus on it, there wouldn't be a Series X system. That's just like the end all be all. There shouldn't be a new system launching.
Well, I do think Game Pass is their end goal. That's the strategy, because eventually it's going to get to the point where, you know, Xbox consoles are not going to sell. And I think they know that too, because like the fact that they've stayed in the game this long for 3 years or for three going on four generations is pretty surprising. Like the first one, the original Xbox did okay. Obviously PS2 beat the shit out of it. Just was not popular in certain areas. 360, like I said, did very, very well for them. At least in the very beginning, it was a long generation though. By the end, I think it was kind of tied. It may have led more in favor of the PS3. The Xbox One was fucking atrocious. The weakest system, bad, like, not word of mouth, but like just bad first impressions with, a lot of like the always on system stuff, have to have the Kinect, things like that. And they've changed things around like halfway through this generation for the next one. But
it's like, not, I think, enough.
They realize this is not going to last forever. Like they don't have the cachet that Sony does with having, like, sure, the PS3 was kind of like quote unquote disappointing, but like the PS1 was a blockbuster, PS2 was a blockbuster, PS4 was a blockbuster. So Sony's going to be in, like, Sony has to have like three terrible generations in a row before they're like out. Microsoft probably just needs one more and then they're done. So I could see them focusing on Game Pass in the end, but it's the end, and they still need to have a jump to that. They can't just immediately like, okay, we're not going to do this. Because they have to have, I think the Xbox is a way of them getting, not necessarily foot in the door, but more conversations about, yeah, you can have it on our system. Oh yeah, by the way, we have this thing too, Game Pass. So.
Yeah. We will see. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so far, there's still a few months, you know, left for these consoles to come out. But so far, you know, just Microsoft showing just shows me that they are not ready. They're focusing on the right things, but they're letting a lot of other things slide in between that really will affect the perception of the Xbox Series X, because they really don't want me to buy one. That's their whole impression. They want me to subscribe to Game Pass. They don't want me to buy a Series X. And they don't want gamers to buy a Series X going by that showing. I know people are going to, you know, get Halo Infinite when it does launch, but, you know, going by what was shown, it seems like it's just going to do more harm than good. And they're treating Halo Infinite as a platform. So I don't know what to expect in quality. Because if they're treating it as a platform, I could see something like Sea of Thieves happening, where Sea of Thieves did not have a gameplay loop in terms of what you did in Sea of Thieves. It was just like all open. There was no missions. There was no nothing at the very start. It was. Mm-hmm. It's now that it actually got its footing.
So, and you can even say the same thing with the Master Chief Collection, like especially on the Xbox One. Like it released very poor state, and they've been working on it. And even the PC versions haven't been great. It's something that they're constantly working on.
And that's a problem, because if they're using Game Pass as something to just like early access launch these titles, it's going to be a problem in quality now. And this was my biggest concern with Game Pass, that we were going to get AA games, a lot of AA games, and we weren't going to get, well, AA games are good. That's for sure. There are great titles that are, you know, that are produced well and the quality is there, but the way this is going, this is making it seem like they're just going to throw everything at it. And then from there, they're going to see if, you know, if it continues in terms of it becoming a series. Like, Bleeding Edge is one of those sort of games where it's decent, but over time, it may improve and it may not improve. And that's going to be a problem if that's their design choices. And it's going to show. It's going to show exactly the quality. Or like, off the bat, that's going to be something that's going to show. And when you're in, like, the gaming landscape, we see games from Nintendo and Sony that are, like, so well done. You know, gameplay is on point. And then playing a Microsoft title that the gameplay is fine, but the presentation is not there. The game is not balanced. It's a lot jankier than these titles. Then it's like, okay, so what am I really paying for? Am I paying for early access now? So that's something that I want to see Microsoft bring out a clearer message with, and they have to now show it. I can't just hear we're going to deliver anymore from Microsoft. Now that they're more focused on first party, now they have to show that gameplay quality.
Yeah, and again, it's just kind of like wait and see what happens from here, because, I mean, again, Sony hasn't been too great. I mean, they've been showing shit, but, like, they have been very tight-lipped about a lot of stuff, so.
No, that's certainly true, but the thing is that you could give them a more benefit of the doubt only because we already know those studios and how they handle things. Like with Insomniac, we know, you know, Miles Morales is going to be up to par. We play Spider-Man. We already know what to expect. And anything else is a cherry on top.
Yep, that is very true.
So yeah, it's a whole wait and see going forward. So I'm just interested on just the next months. But so far, they did exactly what I've always been saying on the podcast, is that they need to start focusing on their first-party games. And we have to see that quality. So we will see from there. So that's definitely a great start for them. So we will see from there. Oh, so I guess that's it for this week. the Microsoft event. Yeah, we covered everything.
It was a very, so, very busy week.
Yes, very busy week. We're going to close the floodgates now. With that being said, guys and gals listening, follow us on Facebook, like us on Twitter. I think I did a reverse, but I always do a reverse. But just look us up there on every social media platform. We're there. Facebook, Twitter. Also subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. We're everywhere. So definitely check us out. And we'll see you next time.
Catch you on the flip side.